and mercies that are following after us all the days of our life. Brother Tim Hodge preached yesterday about that. I never, no, never, 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 never forsake thee. Couldn't help but think about my mama. She had dementia, and her favorite psalm was Psalm 23. And every once in a while, she'd just stand up in church and go to quoting it in the service. And when she got down there to where it says, surely, she didn't just say surely. She said, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad there's some things that are certain and sure. It's come time for our first message this morning. Now, this morning, we're going to preach two men 30 minutes apiece. That's the way we done last Thursday. And this is the way God just put it in my heart. And I want you to pray for these men and ask God to touch them. They'll have something to say that you'll need. And by the way, Brother Keith, you be coming on. By the way, I know we're getting close to the end of the meeting. There's just four services counting today. And sometimes we get the idea or feeling that we're just going to coast the rest of the way in. But I'm here to tell you, God can work in any morning service, any evening service, and I'm just looking for God to do something for us here today. So you open up your heart, for it's no telling what the Lord may do. I appreciate this man of God. He's an evangelist out of Demorest, Georgia. And he's no stranger to camp meeting. Brother Keith, you preach for us, they'll run the light for you.
All right, thank you. Well, it is a blessing to be in under the tabernacle this morning, and thank God for his, might need that. Thank God for his blessings, and I just want to say personally how this meeting has been such a help to me. Amen. I don't see how anybody could be honest and come and not say they've got help. I mean, it's been just been tremendous, and I thank God for it. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Would you open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 4, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4, and I'll try to give you what the Lord's put in my heart for this morning. I do appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And if you would stand with me, if you found your place, I certainly covet your prayers. I can't do anything without him, and we certainly need his touch. You know, it's amazing. Let me say this. It's amazing in meetings like this, and it may have already been said, how that so many different personalities among us as preachers and styles and abilities, and how God can weave all of that together and minister to us and help us. Amen. And I just thank him for that. Amen. I praise God for that. Luke chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yeah.
Amen. If you wanted to find Jesus on the Sabbath, just go to the local synagogue. Amen. And if you want to find a Christian, you ought to be able to go on the Lord's Day to the house of God. Amen. I like that. The Bible said he went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You ever paid any attention to the little word found? You see, when Jesus was reading, he was reading from a scroll. He unrolled the book of Isaiah. I read where it was about 50 feet long, at least 50 feet long. So I can imagine, and they didn't have chapter divisions and verse divisions. How would you like to do that? Amen. So he found it. Amen. The place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them. Now what he just read is Isaiah chapter number 61, verses 1 and half of verse number 2. And he stops in the middle of verse number 2. And now after he reads, the Bible said after he sat down in verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. My heart this morning is drawn toward the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to try to share a few thoughts from the Word of God today about His ministry. And I want to say that there has been a lot of great men that God has called and equipped and used them mightily in the work of the Lord and preaching the Word. And there are a lot of great preachers here today, but there is only one real preacher, amen. This was him, amen. And he's still in the ministry, if you didn't know. He's still in it, amen. When he went to heaven, he didn't quit, amen. He's still in the ministry, as I'll show you in just a moment. But I want to try to share a few things out of these verses. And I just want to say this. I thought about this morning as I was getting ready. You know, I remember I was saved in 1974 on August the 11th. And then before the end of the year, the Lord was dealing with my heart about preaching. And so I surrendered the following September of 1975. On September the 14th, and I stood for the first time on September the 21st. And I had some family and different ones to come out, you know, for my first time standing. And I think I preached about 7 minutes. A lot of folks wished I would still preach about 7 minutes. Amen. I mean, they said, preacher, what happened to those days, you know? But let me say this. And it was a grand day for me. I was so excited, scared to death. I just wanted to be sure. I wasn't raised in church. It was all new to me. And I was really bashful and shy. And when I get up before people, this is not by nature. This is not me. It's not who I am. But I'm glad that God has done what He's done in my life. I wouldn't want to live it any other way this morning. Amen. But I want to say this, it went well for me. This is Jesus's, I believe, first time that he is publicly announcing his ministry. If you'll look in verse number 14, you will find that he has been up in Galilee. He's already been baptized by John Baptist. He has been in the wilderness and went through that temptation. And then in Galilee, his fame began to spread in verse 14. And the Bible said in verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues. So he has already been doing some teaching in the Galilee region in the synagogues. But he comes back to his hometown of Nazareth where he grew up. And it was here that he was going to officially announce his ministry. And if you'll study the writing of Isaiah, you'll find out that Jesus was doing more than just saying that I am anointed to preach, but Jesus was making a messianic a claim as being the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And so in his first time in presenting himself, you know what happens by the time the service is over? They got mad at him. And they wanted to kill him, amen. And so the greatest preacher that has ever lived had a hard start, didn't he, amen. And so every one of us, I'm sure it wasn't that bad, amen. But I want you to notice with me a few things about this. I want you to notice in this text, we see the prophecy of his ministry. I'm not going to take the time to turn to Isaiah 61, but we see in Isaiah 61 where 750 years before Jesus come on the scene and was actually born, Isaiah gave this prophecy concerning him. And Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." As a matter of fact, Isaiah has been called the evangelical prophet because he has so much to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as the Messiah of the nation of Israel. And I just want to say today that I'm thankful. And you know, I preach a good bit of prophecy, and sometimes people say, "You know, why you deal with that? There's other things that ought to be preached. You ought to be preaching on salvation. You ought to be preaching on the church." I just want to say this. Before Jesus was ever born, the Old Testament is filled with the prophecies of His first coming. Amen. And the prophecies of His first coming was so important because Jesus kept referring to them in His own life and in His own ministry. And I just want to say that the prophecies of His second coming, amen, are just as important as the prophecies of His first coming, amen. And we ought to be interested in it, and we ought to do it because it's part of the ministry that God put His Son in, amen. So we see the prophecy of this ministry. I want you to turn with me. Well, let's look here for a little bit. Look in verse number 18. This is what Jesus reads out of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You know, it's amazing. We see the prophecy of His ministry, but we also see the power of His ministry. I wasn't here last week, but I heard someone talking about, I believe it was Brother Gillum and somebody else, that were talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I don't know what has already been said about that. But I want you to know that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about y'all, and maybe you that are smarter than I can come help me out on this a little bit after the service. But, you know, Jesus is God, is He not? Amen. He's the second person of the Trinity, thank God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And when we think about God anointing Jesus, amen, and filling Him with the Holy Ghost, I don't quite understand how that is. It sounds to me like that God was full of God. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. God was full of God. Paul said in Colossians 2:9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Amen. And I believe that's what Paul had in mind in 1 Timothy 3. And I know why he called it a mystery. When he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God." And these new versions kindly tamper with that verse, because it is one of the cardinal verses that show us that Jesus Christ is God. And these newer versions don't read like your King James does right here. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, a seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into the glory." And I say thank God for that. I want you to notice something here about Jesus. In Luke chapter number 3, we find that when Jesus was baptized of John, that the Bible said in verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art My beloved Son, in Thee I'm well pleased." Amen. And so the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus there as He came out of those waters. But then look in chapter 4 and verse number 1. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Okay, look in verse number 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about." Brother Williams, what I'm reading right here is this. When Jesus went into the wilderness for the temptation, He went in full of the Holy Ghost. And according to verse number 14, when Jesus came out of the wilderness after that temptation, He came out full of the Holy Ghost. He went into temptation full of the Holy Ghost. He came out of the temptation full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm afraid to tell you that there's been a lot of times in my life when I might have been walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit of God, but God kind of got in a situation to where I got sideways with God, and when it was over, I wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness right there, friend? But we're talking about the Son of God. I don't understand all that. I don't understand what John what it meant in John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The night or the day that you got saved, the Holy Ghost took up its abode in your life and your heart. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Ephesians 4:32, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm satisfied, I'm seated in the heavenly places. But let me just say this, dear friend. God, when you and I receive the Holy Ghost, we're still in a mortal flesh. Amen. We still got a sin nature. We're still living in a fallen world. And it has had to been measured to us. But the Son of God, he knew no sin. He did no sin. He had no sin nature. He was God manifest in the flesh. And I don't understand this, but the fullness of the Spirit of God was upon him. Amen. And he lived his life under the energy and the influence, and he ministered over there in Philippians chapter number 2, when you see the condensation of the Son of God becoming a man and becoming one of us. I don't understand all of that, but I do know Jesus never laid aside his deity. You hear me well. He never laid aside his deity. He covered it with flesh. He veiled it, but he willingly restrained from using a lot of his power as the Son of God. And what he did, he exercised it in the power of the Holy Ghost, because he knew that if you and I were going to live right and do right and serve God right, we were going to have to do it in the power and the energy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the only way we can do it. Amen. You know the biggest, it's not a complaint, but Brother Dagenhart, and I'm saying this as humbly as I know how, but people come up to me a lot of times and say, preacher, you just try to deal with too much doctrine. Everybody's got their style, okay? You just be who you are, and I can't help it, friend. I can't help it, because the God of glory and the Holy Ghost of God takes his word and works it in my heart. And I feel like I just got to preach the truths, amen, just like they are in the text, amen. Are you listening to me? I don't understand this, but I'm going to hit it real quick. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, I want you to listen to this. I don't understand this at all. In Hebrews chapter number 9, the Bible said, it said this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, who through the eternal Spirit, I don't understand this. I know that God the Father was looking down at Calvary. He was pouring out his wrath on his Son, judging him in your stead and in my stead. And we can sit here, stand here today justified because the rich, royal blood of Jesus satisfied God. It paid sin's debt. A friend, it purchased us. It propitiated God. And God, therefore, being propitiated, it released God to justify us, because God had to be just in justifying sinners. And the way that he was just in justifying sinners is because that Jesus bore our sin, amen. And he paid for it, thank God. And my sin was judged at Calvary, amen. But God the Father was looking down, and there hang God the Son, and I can't explain it. I just rejoice in it. The Holy Ghost had an aspect and had a part in that offering. Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself to God. Amen. I don't understand that. Praise God. I'm kind of excited about his ministry, aren't you? We see the power of his ministry. I want you to look at the preaching of his ministry. Look in verse number 18, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach." I love singing. I love fellowship. I love all the other activities that we may bring around us as we assemble together. But I'm telling you, dear friend, the thing that gets the wheels turning in my life and turning in my heart is when a man of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost opens up the blessed eternal word and preaches unto me and gives me something that'll help me. Amen. The preaching. Jesus was a preacher. Amen. He was a preacher. In Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse number 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The Bible said in verse 23, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching of the gospel." I'm telling you, friend, long before I ever came along, God had men of God, called of God, anointed of God to preach the gospel. And that's why there is a church today in 2021. It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what God's done. It's because of men preaching the word of God. And somebody getting saved, and then God raises up another generation of preachers, and somebody else gets saved. I don't know about y'all, but there's been my heroes in my life. I've sat around Brother Steve at times and tried to imagine while they were living, what's it going to be like when they're gone? And it's almost like there's a fear that the church doors may shut and things may cease. But God's got this thing so designed. Friend, he's got it so designed. I'm grateful that he uses us. I'm grateful to be a part of preaching the word of God. But it doesn't hinge on me. It doesn't hinge on who I am. But it hinges on the process of what God has instituted, of the process of mortal men anointed by the Spirit of God, of preaching that book, and God, Holy Ghost, doing his work in the hearts and the lives of men. And that's why there's a continuation of the work of God. Jesus is continuing the ministry through his men and through his church today. Amen. Oh my. I want you to turn over to Isaiah real quick. Chapter number 42. There are four servant songs in the book of Isaiah that illustrate and prophesy and teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. And I'm interested in Isaiah 42, just one or two things here. Look what he said in verse number 1. He said, "Behold," listen now, I'm going to give you something. Out of verse number 1, God said, "Behold," he's talking about Jesus, that servant Messiah. In other words, behold, he is presented. He said, "Behold, my servant," he said, "in whom I uphold," he is promoted. God is doing this. He said, "Mine elect, he's picked out," amen, "in whom my soul delighteth, he is pleasing to God." He said, "I have put my spirit upon him, he is powerful and equipped to do the work of God. And then he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He is and was and still is and always will be productive," amen. I like what he said in verse number 4. I'm preaching on the ministry of Jesus. "He shall not fail." Oh my, he shall not fail. Can I remind you, neighbor, that he never failed as a child? Where was he at 12 years old? He was at the temple teaching, amen, astonishing those learned men. He never failed as a child. He never failed a friend in his conversation. I mean, friend, for all those years, he taught the word of God. He preached the word of God. He never failed in his compassions, whether it was one man like the leper or whether it was a multitude that he wept over and seen them as a great harvest. He never failed. fail. A friend went in relationship to the cross, thank God. He never fails in his relationship to the church. He's not going to fail in his relationship to the second coming, amen. He's not through. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 49 real quick. Isaiah 49. I'll help you right here. In Isaiah 49, this servant passage gives us the threefold purpose of the ministry of Christ. Look what he said, and look what God said about him in verse 2. And he hath made me, he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he made me, hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Jesus here is saying that God the Father has made him a sharp sword, a polished shaft to the arrow. Look what he said in verse 3, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. The purpose of the ministry of Christ was to reveal the Father. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That word declared means to be made manifest, to put out in public. Amen. Jesus told the disciples over there in John chapter number 14, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Somebody said, I wonder what God's like. Read your Bible about what Jesus is like, and you got it. Amen. He manifests the Father. What's God like? Read the Gospels and you'll find out what God's like. Hebrews chapter number 1, he is the express image of his person. Amen. Thank God. I'm excited about it. Number 2, look in verse 6 of Isaiah 49, the second part of his ministry. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant. Now watch, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore, watch now, to restore the preserved of Israel. His ministry is to reveal the Father, to restore the nation of Israel. And that's where prophecy comes in, amen. And then I like what he said there. He said, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. I'm glad God has not forgotten us as Gentiles. Is there a Gentile under the tabernacle this morning? So I guess you would have to agree with me then that Jesus has not failed in his ministry because of the fact that you and I are living proof that he has brought light to the Gentiles. Amen. So he ain't through with the nation of Israel. And I preached that here several years ago. I'm telling you, neighbor, I'm talking about the ministry of Christ. I'm quickly coming to a close. Look in Luke chapter number 4, and I'll give you one other thing here. And I'm done. We see the people of his ministry in Luke chapter number 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in verse 18 because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. My mom and dad were both saved. They're still living. They're saved. But we didn't go to church. When I was growing up, I was born in Murphy, lived west of Murphy until I was a young boy, and then moved to Georgia. And my dad moved on chicken farm, laying hens, worked 7 days a week. And for the most part, we moved out of those. I think by the time I got married, we had moved like 12 times. And a couple of the times we went back to North Carolina. But I had a stable home life. Even though mom and dad didn't take us to church, they were good morally, they were saved. They taught us right and wrong. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not giving them an out on not bringing us up in church. Don't you misunderstand me. But I'm just saying that I never grew up with any insecurities based on my relationship to my mom and dad. I knew they loved me, and I still do. But I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to go to the Springhead and bring the water in the house in a bucket and go to the outhouse to use the restroom. Amen. And I know what it's like to go to school and see what others do and what others have, and you don't. And unless you've never really been there, I'm not saying you don't have to appreciate it, but I'm just saying, look what he said. Because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. Where does he start with? To the poor. Good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, it was said under in the prayer ground, people are hurting and people are in pain today, and people are living under the anxieties and the fears. There's a lot of brokenness out there, broken lives. Are you hearing me today? A young man sat on my porch the other day with legal papers in his hands. His wife was leaving him, taking the child. They're going to divorce and all of that. And preacher, what can I do? He started telling me about all these that he wants to do. And I'm thinking, you should have been doing this for the last 3 years. It's a little too late, seems like. But Jesus Christ, in other words, when you read this, to the poor, to the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, if you go back in Isaiah chapter number 29 and also in chapter number 32, you'll see that some of the signs of the real Messiah was that he would open the blinded eyes, he would unstop the deaf ears, and he would bring good tidings to the poor. When John Baptist was in the prison over there and his disciples came over there asking, Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know what Jesus told John? He said, you go tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He was telling John, you go tell John that I'm doing the signs of the Messiah. And that's what he's saying right here. I'm going to do the signs of the Messiah.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm glad as the preacher preached yesterday morning, I'm glad I didn't have to be on the top in order for him to come to me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. You see, if he hadn't to become poor, a lot of folks that are poor would look at him and say, well, what does he know what it's like? How does he know what I've been in? And how does he know the hope that I... How does he know? But I'm glad that he came all the way. I'm glad that he got down as low and as far down as anybody could get, so that it doesn't matter where you're at, you can look to him for hope and help, and he's able to do something about it. May God bless you is my prayer. I'm through. Thank God.